Well, I can certainly echo a lot of what's been said already in these days. I'm so thankful for the influence that camp has had on my life, for the godly leaders here at the camp. I mentioned a little bit about this early in the week. I'm especially thankful for a few summers back in the early 80s that I had the privilege of spending a lot of time here, and how those were really life-changing times for me. How the Lord had filled me with the Spirit in 1983 in the summer when I was here, and how God had begun to make these things that we hear about all the time here so real and precious to me, as I was able to sit under the teaching of the Word of God day in and day out for the whole summer. That was such a great privilege, for which I'm very thankful for. So I'm thankful for what God did for me as a young person, how he set lights burning in my heart that have never gone out. That's not to say that I've been perfect and faithful in everything, but God has been faithful. And he always draws us to himself and continues to call us to himself and continues to work in us. And I'm so thankful for the solid teaching that we've always experienced here at camp of the Word of God. And also a little personal thing that happened to me. It was interesting to me how this weekend we've heard of, I believe it was, three different ladies that when they met the man that they were going to marry, their first thought was, oh, Lord, not him. And it's interesting, the men that have talked about finding their mates have had a little bit of a different perspective. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, I had met my wife in Ridgewood. I used to drive the Sunday school van and would pick up the children. And so I've actually known her little sisters longer than I've known her, because I would pick them up, little girls. And after a year or two of that, then she started coming with them too, and so I got to know her a little bit there. But the reason I'm mentioning that is because I had more opportunity to get to know her a little bit better as we worked together here at camp. And just to fast forward a little bit, then later on in early spring, I believe it was in March of 1995, we took a walk not far from here, up by that little creek that's alongside of Route 8 on your way to Hague. We took a little walk up there, and that's where we became engaged to be married. And a couple of years ago, on the Fellowship with Friends retreat, we took a little walk up there. I don't know if I'd been up there at all since that other time. But we took a little walk up there and past the spot where I'd stopped with my wife at that time, my wife-to-be. And this time we went a little farther. And the creek kind of took a bend and went a little farther, and maybe a little waterfall back there or something. And so as we're walking along, I start thinking to myself all of a sudden, wow, this would have been a much better spot. But unfortunately, I was almost 20 years too late. And you know, many Christians are like that. You know, we stop short of what we could have. You know, we don't keep going and experience all that God has for us. We get to a certain point and we feel, oh, I'm kind of comfortable here. I think I'll settle down here for a while. Maybe we get the idea that, well, we get everything that we need, everything that we need at conversion, and so there's nothing else. You know, we'll just sort of march along now. But there's so much more, and I'm so thankful that we've come to learn about that. How it's not simply just about feelings and emotions that those that might look at Pentecost from the outside might believe that, oh, you people are just hysterical. But it's real. There's something more to it than that. The presence of Jesus, a greater hunger for himself. These things that we've learned about, these are things that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives as we're filled with him, as we are yielded to him. I was so grateful for the way it was put on the back of this little leaflet here, this quote from Mrs. Robinson. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an advanced step in the knowledge of God, whereby Jesus is made more real to the soul. What a wonderful, succinct way of putting that, you know, and that's really true. And that's why we need that. We need to seek the Lord to be filled with him. And, you know, that's like we've been hearing today especially, it seems, and I guess other times this weekend, that's something that the next generation needs to get a hold of, too. And it's interesting to me how, you know, there are kids that are growing up in our churches, perhaps, that really haven't seen much of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we're in danger of losing something very precious over the generations as time goes on. And perhaps I feel this keenly myself as a parent, since my children are also growing up in the church, and thank God for what He's been doing for them. But we need to get a hold of that idea, that we need to pass this on, as our brother Phil was laying on our hearts this morning, how important that is. The next generation needs to catch the vision of what God wants to do in their lives, in their generation, how God wants to fill them with the Holy Ghost, how they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They can't survive in this world without being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we need to teach our kids, of course. We need to start there. They have to learn what God has for them. But then we also need to take faith that God will set His presence into their lives, make it something important to them, make following Jesus, loving Jesus, being filled with Him, important to them, pleasing Jesus in all things, making that important to them. Oh, Dad, why can't we do this? Everybody else is doing it. Well, because it's going to take away from the presence of Jesus in your life. And they need to get a hold of that. God needs to put that into their hearts. You know, we can drum these things over their heads all we want, but, you know, when we look back over our lives, what made the difference to us? Because somebody told us, oh, don't go here, don't go do that? No, it was because God made it real in our own souls. We all reached a point where the Holy Spirit put His finger in our heart and said, look, that's got to go, that's got to go. I want you all for myself. And our kids need to experience that too. He's the only one that can do that, and He's still on the job of doing that today. Praise God. You know, in Ridgewood, this year, the theme verse that our brother Eddie gave to us was from Psalm 90, the last two verses there. We have it up on the wall in front of church most of the time. You know, we used to have a big, heavy sign that we would take down every year and change all the little letters on it and hang it back up. There was a very heavy, beastly thing. And finally, there were those that said, you know, you guys, you really shouldn't be taking that down every year. I guess it looked maybe a little dangerous the way we were trying to balance it and stand on the piano and, you know, try to get it down and everything. So it was getting to be a little too much. So now we have a projector that just pops right up there on the wall, as long as somebody remembers to turn it on. So this is the verse that we have up there then. Verses 16 and 17 from Psalm 90. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What a great prayer that was for Brother Eddie to give us at the beginning of this year, to set that in motion. And if I may, I would actually like to include his words that's in this staff devotional we've been hearing about. They have a quote here from him that's related to this, and if I may just read this quickly. The end of Psalm 90 is a prayer that God's work will progress among His people. Moses prays that God will show His people mercy, and that in spite of their sin, God will let His work appear. What a prayer to plead before the throne of grace. And then Moses adds, and your glory to their children. Moses has a heart, an eye, a faith, a hope that reaches beyond himself, a trust in the promises and purpose of God over His people. May God put that into our hearts. In the last verse, Moses prays that the favor and beauty of God will rest on His people. Holiness is the beauty of the Lord our God. Let Jesus be seen. Make our faces to shine. Let your favor be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Make that which we do for your name and your kingdom worthwhile. Let it be something that lasts. We want you to do that, Lord. We want our lives given to you, filled with you. We want all that we do to have meaning, to be worthwhile, to be a blessing to others. And so we need God to establish us in our works. He who has given the prayer will answer the prayer. Praise God. I just want to let him speak for in his own words tonight. I was thinking before, I wonder if Brother Eddie was here, if he would be drawing our attention to these verses and how important it is to pass the things of God along to our children and to pray that God will show his power to our children. Praise God. We need to take faith over that. We need to believe God. We need to recognize the importance of being filled with the Spirit and demonstrate that in our own lives. We need to seek the Lord and be filled with him all the time ourselves and be useful to God ourselves. Earlier this year, we had spent a little time in the book of Joel, if I may just take a moment to look at this with you. Joel chapter 2, we find in here such wonderful promises of God. The Israelites are ripe for judgment, and judgment is coming to them. And yet we see in verse 12 of chapter 2, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." It's so interesting to me how when you read about judgment in the books of the prophets, you see these moments where God says to his people, yet, even now, even though you're in bad shape and judgment is coming, even now, I'm holding the door open for you. You can repent. You can get right. You can have the blessing of God. You can finish well. And it's so wonderful to see that here in Joel also, that God is holding the door open to them. Yet, even now, come. Come, repent, turn to me. The Lord is always open to hear our cries. Amen. And so later on here, we find that God had mercy on them. It seems to indicate that that they responded and God had mercy and speaks of how he's going to bless them. And there's a wonderful verse in 25 that speaks of restoration. "I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you." And then in verse 27, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame." What wonderful promises God has in his word about how he wants to be in our midst, how he wants to be glorified among us. And then, of course, we then find that wonderful promise right after that that we love to quote, and Peter quoted in his sermon in Acts, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit." God's promises are to small and great, large and small, male and female, even Pilgrim Camp staff members, the male and female servants, It's for all of us. God wants to pour out his spirit. God wants to be glorified. God wants to fill our mouths with his words, that notion of prophecy, that they will be filled with the spirit and speak forth God's word. It says, "The old men shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions." I like to maybe put a little bit of a modern spin on those words that the translators chose there. But, when I think of the old men dreaming dreams, old men, sometimes their lives are marked by dreams that have evaporated, by things that they were hoping for in their lives, maybe things that they hoped for their families or different areas of life, maybe for their church, maybe things that they felt God had placed on their hearts that never seemed to come to fruition. Maybe the years have just sort of slipped by. And maybe opportunities have slipped by that aren't there anymore. And these dreams that they've had have evaporated. And God wants to come. God wants to give new dreams. God wants to renew and give dreams to the older men. He wants to give hope and expectancy of what he's yet going to do in their families, in their churches. And then the young men, that word vision. God wants to give the young men visions. Well, what do we think of in terms of visions? Understanding what God is wanting to do in their lives, perhaps, how he's wanting to use them in his, and direct them into his kingdom. When we think of vision, we think of direction. And God wants to give our young people direction and anticipation of what God is going to do in their lives and how God is going to use them. And no one is excluded. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. No level of society is excluded. It's not for some elite group. It's not for super saints. It's for everyone. Everyone that will yield to him, that will look to him in faith. So let's have faith that God will continue to do these things at camp. We've heard so many great testimonies of how God has come, how God has met us, yes, how God has filled us, how God has given direction here at camp. And let's believe that that's going to go on, that God is going to do that in the next generation. Amen. For our children and their children. And let's also believe that for our churches and our families at home, that God is going to have his way, that God is going to fill with the Spirit. I'm thankful for the many people who pray for camp. That's always been a very important thing that's gone on here. I know it's been said how years ago the gardeners, and I'm sure others have done this too, they would enlist the help of their friends to pray for camp. They would call people up and say, pray. Pray that God will work in the camp. And that was very important to them. And throughout the year, they would pray for camp. And during the summer, and we would have our staff prayer meetings too. All these opportunities to pray for the camp, to pray that God will have his way. And that's, it's been said earlier today too, how that's why camp has been the blessing that it has been for so many years, because of prayer. And God needs us to take up that burden of prayer as well. To pray through, as we heard before. To lay hold of God and really pray and really believe God. It's not going to come by just a casual prayer. You know, sometimes there's prayers that are not much more than like good wishes, you know. Oh yeah, we prayed now, so yeah, we feel good that we prayed about that, you know. No, God wants us to really get on our face before him and pray. That kind of prayer, you know. Really laying hold that God will do something in our day, that God will come again and pour out his Spirit upon us. You know, I remember at some of the funerals of some of these leaders that we've talked about, how there was this poem that was quoted. I don't have it memorized. Sorry, I can't share it with you. But it's in Flanders Fields, The Poppies Grow. You probably heard that also at some of these same funerals. And, you know, there's the point there is that there are those that were in the battle, and now they are no longer in the battle. They are fallen. And they are calling out to those that are still at it. And they are passing that torch to them. Take up the quarrel with the foe. I believe that's one of the lines in there. And those that have laid down their armor among us have passed that torch to us. And they're calling out to us, keep that torch lit, keep it high, keep running after Jesus, keep seeking him with all your heart. And we do that by prayer and by allowing God to work in us to make these things important to us. You know, we can have a time like this and get all fired up, you know, and yet we need to persevere. We need to believe God that he will help us and give us grace to keep at it when we're at home and keep praying and keep believing and keep teaching our young people and keep trusting God that he's going to work. Thank God for what he is doing among our young people. It's been wonderful to see that. How God is moving among our young people. And so we want to believe that he will indeed continue that, and that he will continue his marvelous work here at camp, that it will continue indeed to be a vestibule of heaven as it has been, a place where people truly come and find Jesus. Praise God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.